I considered having the kids stay and see this, but then I thought, better not. It's a bad example of how, you know, how what they say about some sermons are caught more than taught, or, you know, the best sermons are the ones you see. Well, this is one I don't want them to see. So, because what if they did one of these silly things like us men do? So here John is going to dim the lights on the stage and put on this little slideshow. I would entitle it What Men Do When They Lack Female Supervision. Oh, boy. I've done that. Not that. Definitely not that. That's on the high rise, by the way. Holding them, but that guy's really going to hold him. That guy is really going to hold him. You know, if that dude slips, and that look how that guy is just, he's just looking. Oh, look, there's a bus going by. You know, it's just, oh, that's a cute bird. If that guy falls, he's got him in a really secure knot grip. So good luck again, fella. That's awesome. Right, guys? That ain't half bad. Sorry. That's an air conditioning unit. Couldn't afford AC in the car, so mowing the hedge. What do you think, Murray? Is that how we do it at A1 yard work? No. Okay, there's a quad. I appreciate that, and he's surfing on just a flat sheet of rusty metal, which is best to use for tetanus. That's John's uncle right there. You see the face? That looks like kind of like John right there. Yeah, red, green, and John Green right there. So awesome. That is nice. Yeah. Now this is just horrible. That thing is being held up by a couple of 4x4 posts. There you go. Yeah, couldn't afford a truck, but he got a quad, a trike. And there you have it. And really, if men don't have fathers, this is what you become like. The Batman. Right, Andrew? It's okay to be a little bit like Batman and have a bit of a growly voice, but you don't really want that. Well, they're a little smarter.
They're well-trained.
They are well-trained. It's because their wives are so wise, they don't let them out of their sight. That is a stretch. All right. Well, there you have it. I'm pretty sure that this transcends all nationalities and people groups. I can assure you, because if they're men, they're just full of bad ideas. And you know, and I know that some people even say, you know, it's terrible that the TV and commercials and movies and so on always depict men as so silly. But quite frankly, we are sometimes silly, and that's okay. And it's good that we are playful and fun, and that we can laugh at ourselves. And I don't have a problem with that. It's great. I had the great pleasure. Well, let's pray first. God, we pray your blessing. We pray your help. We pray that this conversation would be one that, yes, I've had it with you, this conversation, but I pray that it would continue into this context, into this situation, that we would just continue to have a conversation about dads and fatherhood. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a great pleasure of being invited to a lunch in Viking, a men's group. Actually, it was from all denominations, men getting together for lunch. And what a joy it was. It was just great. There was, I'd say, about 16 men there, if I remember right. And what a joy. We were asked each our turn to introduce ourselves and tell something about ourselves. And you know how that goes, that kind of an icebreaker. Well, what it turned into was men saying, you know, name and then sharing how they met their wives, of all things, and when they had come to the Lord. they would share. And it was funny how that was, that often it was, you know, they'd come to the Lord and meet their wife around the same time, thank goodness, you know. That's like coming to their senses all at once. And being ultra blessed also. So here these men are sharing, you know, the first man gets up and says, I'm John, and I met my wife back in 1973 or something, you know, and what a beautiful story. And then each one would share, and we're married now. I mean, each one of these guys, one would say, I'm married 53 years, and the next one, 47 years, the next one, 35 years, and married, serving the Lord happily to this day. I just, I was astounded, because this isn't normal. This isn't an average room full of men. 16 men, 15 of them were still married to their first wife. And I'd say, I did the math, and I would estimate that in that room represented, where did I do it? Over 500 years of marriage among 15 men. I was blown away. I was the low end of the number. I was 31 years, and here these men are, you know, like I say, 40s and 50 plus years. I was just so blessed. What a great thing. 15 of these 16 men had this wonderful story of their walk with the Lord and their courtship and their marriage and the longevity of both marriage and relationship with their father. I knew this was a singularly rare event. I had posted on Facebook a little while back something I had found very interesting from a good book called The Good News About Marriage, because there is good news about marriage. Amen? Amen. It's by Shante Feldhahn. Sounds like a Jewish brother, and I'm sure he knows some good things about marriage. And we've often heard the quote, 50% of marriages end in divorce. This statistic, 50% end in divorce. I have news for you, that's not true. That's a lie. That's an incorrect statement. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you know, all the U.S. is going to be similar numbers to ours, I would expect. 72% of those who have ever been married are still married. 72% and are still married to their first spouse. And the 28% who aren't includes everyone who was married for many years until a spouse died. So those numbers are way different than what we've been throwing around for years. You know, I mean, and I know that there are many in this room who are have experienced divorce, and we know that's not God's desire. It's not His best, and there's all kinds of circumstances that play into that. But what I'm talking about is marriage. And there's good news for those who are married and who are going through challenges, because clearly many people go through those challenges and continue to be married. I guarantee you, not 72% that are still married, they've all, 100% of them have had their troubles. But praise God, still married. No one knows what the average first marriage divorce rate actually is, but based on the rate of widowhood and other factors, we can estimate it's probably closer to only 20 to 25% of those married become divorced. So there you go. That's a different number altogether. And I've also heard this statistic then injected into church family and saying that, and that same goes for church family, 50% end up in divorce. Well, those numbers are not correct. In fact, the Barna study focused on a church family, and this is what they said. Barna himself has said that he would love to correct this misunderstanding, because he wasn't studying church people, if you will, people who regularly attend church. And he concluded that if a person was in church last Sunday, their divorce rate drops by 27%. Just being married and coming to church regularly will lower your chance of divorce. That's a good thing. So it's another good reason to come to church. Come to church, stay married. That's not bad. I think I would recommend it. I mean, every good reason to come to church I would like to promote. So 27% more likely to stay married if you are regularly church attending. That's a good number. The implications, if you ask me, are enormous. Imagine the difference for me as a pastor to know I can say these numbers with some confidence and say, you know, 50% do not divorce. Otherwise, every time I stand before man and God and now pronounce you husband and wife, I'm thinking every second one I do is going to bust. I hate that. And I've done, I would estimate, 30, 40 marriages. I haven't counted, but, and most of them are still married. They still have to live a lot longer yet, but I mean, they're still married now, and they haven't killed each other, and I can only think of two divorces in the 30, 40, so that's not bad. That's not bad at all. And so be encouraged that your marriage can last, and if God has something to do with it, it will likely last, and invite God into that situation, especially when you're having trouble, but all the time. Don't wait until you have trouble. Yeah, most people get through troubles. Otherwise, why bother getting married? I mean, actually, most marriages last a lifetime, and I'm happy to say that. But then there's the fatherless factor. Those who are in households where there isn't a dad in the home. And it's a very important factor. And these, again, are numbers that are rather staggering. I won't go on and into those numbers so much, but in fatherless home situations, children are more likely to commit crime, do drugs, abuse alcohol, go to prison. Children from father-absent homes are twice as likely to drop out of high school. What a thought. These children, once grow up, are also much more likely to introduce their children into father-absent homes. You can choose to debate these numbers and these terrible social consequences. However, there is obviously a connection between an absentee father and all these catastrophic results that have scarred the family and really society as a whole. The significance of this research cannot be overstated, in my opinion. The cost to society as well as to the individual and their families is astronomical, and it's getting worse. Men, stick around. You must stick around. So my first point is that men need to stay. You need to stay. I hope you agree with me. You need to stay. I mean, and if you and the missus, well, you just couldn't. But you still have to stay for the kids. You have to stay in their lives. You have to stay involved. You have to stay contributing and an influential part of their growing up. But ideally, stay. Stay in the home. Yeah, I mean, the hardest part sometimes is showing up. You're not even in the game if you don't show up. Get in the game. Take a couple of goes at it, you know, you will do better than you think. Be a dad, show up. But mister, you also have to stay in love with their mother. You still can do that. There are many men here that can still do that. It's for your own good. And I'm speaking now to the young men too. Men that haven't even found the future mother of their children. I mean, men, young men, yes, you too, Jess, you will find a girl. She'll be, you know, she'll be an amazing girl. I know she will, because she'll have to marry you. And she'll be an amazing girl. And I know your mom and dad are praying for her already, and she needs a lot of prayer. So you see where I'm kind of hedging there. But anyways, young man, you need to stay in the home, and you need to stay in love with the mother of your children, with the future Mrs. Hytel, with the future Mrs. whoever she be. Take extraordinary, how's that? That's even better. Steps to keep from sexual temptation, men. So many Christian fathers have ruined their spiritual heritage through their carelessness in this area. And don't think it can't happen to you. It can happen to anyone if they're not careful. I got hit on yesterday. I know. I'm surprised too. She was clearly had poor eyesight, but she was driving a vehicle, so at least there's that. So, I mean, she was legal to drive, but, I mean, it still happens to this day, and I ran away. And then I went home, and I told my wife. That's smart, I think. I think so. Right out, and this is where, and it happened just like that. It happened just before I met you, actually. I was washing my car, and there you pulled up. That was very cool, brother. Pulls up on his bike, and hey, how you doing? And yeah, right. And then here we meet for church today, and we had no idea. That's so cool. Anyways, she pulled up a little bit earlier than that, and yeah. Oh, I like your car. Well, I guess that might work on some guys, but not on me, thank God. And then the next thing was, you know, I wish I had a boyfriend with a car like that. Good luck with that. And I ran around the other side of the car and started cleaning the wheel disc. She's still there. Okay, well, we'll see ya. Run away, please. And that's how it is. And quite frankly, that's how it needs to be, man. And we have to be very careful to take every precaution. Like Job said, that he put a guard on his eyes. Oh, that's a great idea. A guard. I mean, absolutely. All I can see is my wife. All I can see is Judy. And if I would have a fantasy, it would be a fantasy about Judy. And that's only me. Guys, anyways, and you know, that's how it's got to be. You've got to love your wife, and that there is no one else, absolutely no one else in the world that would grab your attention. Men, can you do that? And if you can, you will be on steady footing. You will be blessed for that, and your families will be blessed for that, because you know your kids are actually watching where your eyes go, gentlemen. If you're in a restaurant and there's some inappropriately dressed waitress, and there's many these days, and you happen to take a second or too long a glance, and your son is watching your eyes, and he's just, he got that. Don't do that, gentlemen. That's where you put the menu up like this. And I'll have the, and that's what you need to do. And if necessary, you say to the family, we should go to a different restaurant. That would work too. That might even speak more volumes to them. That we have to, gentlemen, we have to be very careful. We have to be careful what we catch on TV, what commercials. You know, there is a channel clicker. You men, you're always holding it anyways. You might as well use it, aren't you? I mean, you know you are. Be really quick. Like as soon as that inappropriate commercial, just pssst, oh, look, it's the weather station. You can have it on it always goes back to that station, right? You can do that, you know, previous channel, right? And then, boom, back to the channel when you know that 1.5 minutes of perversion is passed, because we have to do that. And set that good example for your kids. You know, I even thought about, make sure you kiss your wife. I kiss my wife a lot. And I'm the only one that kisses my wife. I hope you gentlemen kiss yours too, though, and I hope you kiss them a lot. Did you know that according to the science of kissing, yes, there is a science of kissing, and you will find it in Time Magazine. In fact, in May 2014, Time Magazine online, you will find the science of kissing. I'm not going to share all of it because some of it gets a little weird, but a 10-year study undertaken in Germany, and everybody knows that Germans are very romantic. Oh no, it's the Italians and the French. But the Germans are, come here, woman, and kiss me. I'm sure that they're better than that. I don't know. Any romantic Germans out there? I know the guys from Netherlands now, they're romantic. I know they are. And big kissers. Well, they're big, and they're kissers. And a 10-year psychology in Germany during the 80s found that men who kissed their wives before leaving to work lived on average 5 years longer. 5 Remember what Judy said about men who keep the Sabbath live, what was it, 8 years longer? If you keep the Sabbath and kiss your wife, you're going to live to be 100, Alvin. And I know you're already kissing her. I've seen evidence of it. He's a romantic guy. I've seen him dancing with her, all googly-eyed. Well, no wonder, though. Hey, anyways, moving on really quickly. 5 years longer. And they, gentlemen and wives, this is, you want to grab that guy, kiss him, because he will earn 20 to 30% more money than a man who left his wife without giving her a kiss in the morning. I know, yeah. Come here, mister, I want to kiss you. That's what I need the money, and you just pucker up, fella. How about that, eh? 5 years longer, makes more money. Come here, big boy. And the researchers also reported that not kissing one's wife before leaving in the morning increased the possibility of a car accident. Yeah, so again, well, which would again suggest that kissing is good. But I, you know how these numbers about how men don't live as long as women? Refer back to some of those pictures we saw at the beginning. You know, I think they die of stupidity more than health issues. I mean, you know, crushed by a car. It was being held up by a wicker basket, you know. It was bound to give, but it was seemingly so solid, you know. Anyways, so, I mean, that doesn't help our statistics either. But this is good lifestyle stuff. Now, and I'm not just talking about a peck on the cheek. The article went on to say that research highlighted in the Science of Kissing, what our lips are telling us shows a big gender divide in how kissing is perceived. To women, kissing is very meaningful. It matters a lot. It matters a lot more now. You found out that he could earn more money. But, I mean, no, it, kissing matters because it's very romantic and very intimate to a woman. And younger people, younger boys especially, cover your ears. But men were much more likely to see kissing as a means to an end. You know what I'm saying, guys? You know, kissing was the beginning of something. Whereas women see kissing as that's all we need. That's all, just kissing is good. Gentlemen, when was the last time you swept your girl off her feet with a kiss? I sure hope it wasn't your wedding day. When was the last time you knocked her socks off with a kiss? Marita, are you going to get a recording of this and give it to your husband? Are you thinking, yeah, buddy, you know, there you go. When was the last time? Fellows, if you haven't kissed her in a meaningful way, husbands kissing your wives in a meaningful way for a great long time, you may want to warn her first because you might just scare her. She's going to be, what are you doing? So you just say, coming in, and, you know, whatever it takes, or, you know, maybe candlelight first or something, but don't just sneak up on her. That would probably have the wrong outcome. So like I say, men that stay. Men that stay. And also men that play. Fathers that play, like Bob Seger sang back when I was growing up, mama, let them play. Yeah, it was rock and roll, but, you know, mamas let them play. Sometimes the best thing about being a dad is being a dad. It's, you know, fatherhood's something, but dadhood. Play with your kids. Being a dad is fantastic. I know it is. It's been a great, great time of my life. It's fun. And if it's not fun, you're doing it wrong. Fatherhood is fun. We get to do all the fun stuff. I got to buy toys again, stuff that I liked when my kids were growing up. I got to have a second go-round with remote control cars. That was awesome. And I was, oh, honey, we need to buy quads because it's good for the kids. They need to have ATVs and snowmobiles because, you know, growing up without them would just be so sad. And she agreed. And I mean, we got to do that kind of stuff. We got to have fun and go places. I like going to Disney World, quite frankly. It's a blast for me. And my kids have started to grow out of it, so, you know, it's too bad. But we'll get back. We'll get back when they have their kids. And I'll play some more. But playing is fun. Are you playful, Dad? Do you tell your kids bedtime stories right out of your imagination? Do you put your little boy in his very own bedtime story? That's what I did, making him the hero of the story. Did you let him save the day, slay the dragon, rescue the princess? Boys, when you grow up to be dads, do that. And put your little girl in her very own fairy tale and make her the princess that tunes in that would-be hero that she doesn't need rescuing and that she is just as capable of slaying a few dragons herself. And maybe, if that prince is real lucky, she might even rescue him. But go ahead, tell those stories to your kids. Make sure they are the hero and the heroine of the story. And don't be too busy for your kids. We know that. Hop on the bikes. I know that Scott, he goes out and plays with the boys. I know you've played some road hockey with him. I know for sure, and throwing the ball around. Guys, of course we need to do that. And the next generation, you young fellas, you've gotten really good at playing virtually everything with your thumbs. So that's just not going to do it. You need to get up and get outside with your kids and show them how, I mean, we have lost playtime. Kids just don't play anymore. And you need to get out there and get the fresh air and have a great time, skin some knees, and then your wife can go, what are you doing to them? And wrestle with the boys and even the girls and have a fun time and do those sorts of things that every dad needs to do with his sons and his daughters. I think it's so important that we play with our kids. And while you're taking time to play with the kids, make sure you play with your bride too. Make sure you have fun. I've heard people say, it's so sad if your best friend is your wife. No, buddy, you're completely wrong. My best friend is my wife, and we love to play together. We do all kinds of things. Before we had kids, we used to chase each other around the house. And then Merle Haggard wrote a song called Let's Chase Each Other Around the House. I thought he must have been looking in our window. Because we did. We had all these wicker coasters. And man, they could fly. They were, you know, circular, like little frisbees. And we'd run around. And then I introduced elastics. And I taught Judy how to shoot elastics like guns. You should see me after church, fellas, if you want to know. And you'd hook them around. And we'd run around and laugh ourselves silly, shooting and throwing stuff at each other in our little house. And you better be playing with your wife. You better find something. Yeah, and you're getting older and you can't run around so much, but find a way to play. All right? Try not to hurt yourself, guys. Yeah. Couples that play together, stay together. And then kiss the girl, all right? All right, and then the last thing is pray. But before we get to that, do you have a short little, it's only 30 seconds. You'll like it. Not that you need an example, but I just smiled when I saw it. Already I'm smiling.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
Is that a good one? That's a good one. Wasn't that a good one? That was a good one. And I'm telling you, every woman said, now that's awesome, right? That was special. That's very good. Gentlemen, do that. Be silly. If your little girl wants to play tea party, play tea party. If she insists you wear a goofy hat, wear the goofy hat. If she wants to do your hair and she puts enough gel in there for a year, just go with it. Just, you know, it'll pass. It'll wash out. It'll be good. Even let her just do you up hideously. I know that's happened. Yeah. How many times, eh? Yeah, I can imagine Alexa has done that to you. Hey, she's not here right now. Oh, well. Jared, remind her to do it again this week, okay? You don't have as much hair anymore, so she'll have to do more makeup and less hair. She can draw bangs. That'd be cool. Having that, you could part them in the middle. That'd be awesome, or, you know, whatever. Super fun, though. Super fun. Finally, fathers that pray. Gentlemen, pray for your children. Sometimes it's the only thing you can do. in situations when you just cannot reach them, you cannot influence them, you can still pray for them. And so it must be the most important thing you can do. It's always the best thing you can do. Since God is on the throne, and your power is ridiculously limited, gentlemen, walk away from your efforts long enough to ask our Father to exercise His will, His power, into whatever is best for your children. Amen? Going back to the beginning illustration I shared with you, my trip to Viking and the 15 of 16 men who had been married upwards of 30 to 50 plus years. Praise God. That's a handsome room of men. I tell you what, I loved it. The common denominator in all of these men at that luncheon was that each man had a lifelong or very long, meaningful relationship with the Lord. Now that's it. That's most important. Godly men. Oh, they're beautiful. Godly men, you're beautiful. You're handsome. You are, and I'm not speaking on my own behalf, you are very desirable. Women want godly men. If they knew what they wanted, if they truly knew what they wanted, they want godly men. They want men like this that become godly fathers. Hallelujah. Girls, find a godly young man. And if he isn't, he's the wrong one. He's totally the wrong one. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. A really big one, because the girls may not have heard that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Godly men, godly women, that's what we need. And that is going to give your children the very best potential, very best future. Yes, quite obviously, these were praying men, not perfect men. These men that I met around that table, that 15 men, just sincerely striving to be good and godly men. There was one other man in the group. Remember, there was 16 of us. There was one other man, and I had spent a great deal of time talking with him before and during and after the lunch, and for whatever reason, we hit it off and had a great visit. His story was completely different. Did not know the Lord until just very recently. He was now nearing retirement age. He was weary and worn out from a lifestyle that took its toll. And he shared with me how his relationship with his son had been so estranged, so difficult. And here this man is now in his later 60s, wanting to connect with his son and finding it nearly impossible. And I encouraged him, just keep trying. Just keep reaching out, but be careful and be thoughtful about it. But don't be a nuisance, but just continue and pray and pray and pray, because God wants that. God is all about restoration. So if there be any man in this room and is in that sort of a circumstance, whether you're the father or the son, restoration. Give each other a chance. Just whatever relationship you can muster, do that and pray God's blessing in it, and it will get better and better. I know it will. Because men, it is very, very important that you have relationship with your kids. Amen? Man, it's very, very important that you love their mom, that you are in love with her, and it's obvious, very obvious, because it's a good job being a dad. God gave us the job to be dads, and He gave us the example of how to be dads and grandpas. And it's God who will give you your final job evaluation. And it's His approval that matters most. God is quick to forgive, just as our children are quick to forgive, but He expects you to be quick to repent and to follow Him faithfully and serve Him by being good dads. Because quite frankly, of all the things I want God to say, well done, I especially want Him to say well done when it comes to my being a dad. Amen, gentlemen? Well done. We're going to close, instead of a closing hymn, we're going to close with a little chuckle, and it's 5 to noon, so we're going to have a short little video. It's called A 5-Minute Look at Dadhood. Dadhood is so cool, by the Skit Guys, and then we'll just shake some hands, and there's
a gift
for every dad.
Hey kids, Mom needs more help inside.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
You like that? I did too. Yeah, amen. Amen. Gentlemen, I'd like to tell you that I bought you each a new power tool for Father's Day.
How do you pack more kick into...
Sorry, every once in a while I just gotta dance. And thanks for that. I didn't say I got to dance well. Gentlemen, I wish I could have said, you know, and I bought you gift certificates to, I don't know, a really nice restaurant in town, but instead I got you little rubber men. Yeah, I know, hey, what? Anyways, they're kind of super-looking men, and they're strong, and I think they're praising God, is what I think. But they're also very flexible, which you men need to be, and they're fun, which you men need to be, and they stick to the wall and other things, and then they fall, and then you throw them up on the wall again. But anyways, it's just a reminder, gentlemen, take one of these on your way out, and I expect we have enough for every man and man-child in the room today so that you can, yeah, at the very least, you got something to play with, Jess. You know, church turned out all right after all. So the fellas back there, the Becker boys, are going to hand them out to you, gentlemen. Make sure you get one. And have fun with it, and may it be a reminder for you. I'm sure you'll lose it like all the other toys I give you. And your kids will take them over and play with it, and then they'll be broke. But anyways, for that, be a reminder of men that stay and play and pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for fatherhood and for godly fathers, and we celebrate them today, and we've had some fun. But it's also serious business being dad, and you have to be dad to be a father and to be present and to show up. And I pray, God, that we as men will do so. And if there be any areas of our relationship with our kids that needs work, and I'm sure there are, you will help us. You will reveal those places and issues to us and help us to be better dads. If there be anyone here today who is hurting over the loss of a father, pray your comfort for them. Pray that you would be a father to the fatherless, as you have promised. And God bless every man and every person in this church. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. We all said, amen. Amen. God bless you, men and women and kids.